Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. Five community groups in Cobourg have penned an open letter to Mayor Lucas Cleveland, attempting to de-escalate the discussion regarding drugs, addictions, and homelessness, as Cobourg recently provided the opportunity for public feedback on the draft parks master plan. Cleveland is not pleased with the language in the draft plan discussing drug use and encampments in parks, saying this is not a way forward for Cobourg. Alicia Van Dyne, executive director of the United Way Northumberland, joined other groups saying there needs to be discussions on the realities of what is going on in the community.
You know, I kind of look at it this way, Dan. We have to look for the middle. We have to look for the middle, and we have to really be grounded in reality. And I think that we can all agree, we do not want people living in parks. We don't want them living in encampments. We don't want people suffering in our communities. I think that that's the common ground that we're all at. But we have to be realistic. It's happening in our community. It's happening in our country. It's happening around the world. We are in a housing crisis. That is the reality of our circumstance. And if our shelters are full, and we don't have enough supportive housing, and we don't have enough transitional housing, and we don't have enough affordable housing, what happens? The reality of the situation is people are going to end up in encampments. And that's just a fact. We've seen it happen. We've already seen it happen here in Cobourg. And I think that I understand. I can understand exactly where this is coming from. But I think a plan that's really rooted in reality is a much better plan. And I think of the expression of, should we not plan for the worst? And let's work together so that we don't get there.
Now, and I guess in fairness of what the town is trying to do in the county, obviously there's a warming room. A new trailer is bought this week, or recently rather, to put people overnight. Mayor Lucas Cleveland of Cobourg has indicated that Building 18 could be used as a 24-hour hub for homeless people to go to stay warm, which may also provide a sleeping area, but that may not be ready this year, may be ready next year. And so there's still a gap. And you've mentioned that in the letter, that the emergency shelter is usually full at night. And with nowhere to go, people are going to go to a park, or they're going to set up somewhere. And that's just the reality. And you mentioned that, but do you think that this is turning more into a political football, and people are being pitted, one group of people is being pitted against another group for political grandstanding?
You know, what I would say, I understand why it's such a polarizing issue. I can understand where this comes from. And I think one of the things, you know, just on a personal level for me, coming into the role at United Way, I had a very limited, really, understanding of what the housing and our housing insecurity looked like. And so what I would encourage listeners to really think about is to educate themselves on what is the data, what are the facts related to housing and housing insecurity. And that's where I've kind of been landing. Listening to experts, listening to people who are boots on the ground, working with folks in marginalized and vulnerable population. It's looking at data that our province is putting out. It's looking at data for our Northumberland County. And I look at even our own data at 211. And as you know, 211 is one of our funded programs. And I look at the last 3 years, the number one calls, and the calls related, have been housing and income supports. And so I don't think that we can in any way deny that it's happening. It's where's the middle? And I think that I can speak on behalf of the partners to say, we just want an opportunity to meet with Mayor Cleveland and our council members to really give them a good understanding of what it's like to be working with folks every day. And we know that they have great experts as well at the town of Cobourg, but more heads make better solutions. And so we know it's a big issue. We know that it's not one agency that can solve it. United Way can't solve it. You know, Transition House can't solve it. Rebound can't solve it. But together, could we do better? And I think that that's, at the end of the day, where we're coming from is let's find the middle.
Now, part of the there's two other issues that I know Mayor Cleveland takes issue with. One is the language in which the report states. Sometimes the language can be used to stigmatize. Sometimes it can be used as more of a softer tone. What's your take on the language within the report and where the mayor's stance is right now?
I would say that I look at it as really based more in fact. It isn't advocacy language. It truly is. And you know, we think of housing as a human right. I mean, that's a fact related to the international accords that we've signed. It's certainly related to the statute that was passed in the late 2000s. And so I would just encourage people to read through the plan, make sure that they have a really good understanding of what the plan is, and recognize that the folks that wrote the plan are really thinking about what the reality of circumstances are. And I think that our group just wanted to make sure that the other side of this debate was recognized and putting it out there as well for people to consider.
Now, as part of that reality discussion you mentioned earlier, there may be open use, drug use within public parks. And the idea of maybe putting a Sharps container or a safe syringe box in the public park, it may be a good idea, and it could be recommended by public health. When you kind of look at the reality of that, there would need to be some infrastructure put in. You know, public health may need to come by and monitor that to make sure that there aren't any undiscarded needles and whatnot, paraphernalia around those containers. But how do you monitor that and then making sure that the public parks remain safe for everyone to use?
I don't want to see it happen. No. And I'm sure most people in Coburg or any other community where any other lovely park is, we want to be able to enjoy our green spaces. I look at it this way. We know from fact that safe disposals do not encourage drug use. They simply don't. And if it can prevent one person from stepping on a needle, if it can prevent one child or a pet or anybody who's enjoying the park, if it gives them just a little bit of extra safety, then I think that safety is worth it. It is definitely a public health measure. We've seen that it works in other communities. Do I like it? No, but I understand where it comes from, and I would much rather have that safety.
Now, when I look back on this plan and other plans that have been put out by other municipalities, the level of public discussion usually is very low, at least the engagement side of it. You don't really hear much about a garbage plan. You don't hear much about a sewer plan. But on this one, you're hearing a lot. And when I look back at this and I kind of take a step back, I say it's getting people to talk. And it's talking about not only the future of parks, but the future of housing, the future of addictions, the future of homelessness. Now, that may be a side effect of the actual parks plan, but it doesn't seem like people are talking about the parks plan right now. They're talking about all the other big major issues that may come within that parks plan. Is that where this discussion is going? And how do you focus that possibly back to the parks plan?
You know, I think it's everything is like a catalyst. Sometimes things come forward that can generate this kind of conversation. And definitely, I think you're on the right track with that. I look at it this way. We know that we have a housing crisis. Yeah. And I think that more and more people are recognizing it, whether it's an affordability crisis. And we've certainly talked about that with our financial anxiety meters that we've been talking about. And so I think everybody is feeling it and they're seeing it. And the visible homelessness has been something that has really been the shift here, I think, in Coburg and in our communities here in Northumberland. We often think of homelessness as a big city problem. You know, it happens in Toronto, happens in Montreal, happens in Ottawa, happens in Vancouver. And I think seeing it here in Coburg and our other communities, it's been an eye-opening thing. For people that live in rural communities, it's not something that we think about. And so I look at the plan as an opportunity to have conversation about hard things. And, you know, I recently heard this expression, hard things are hard for a reason. And we have to continue to have conversation about housing and affordability and making sure that we're taking care of all citizens. And I hope that people will read the plan in its entirety, and maybe this will help to bring some of this engagement, because people will be curious about reading the entire plan.
Now, I can appreciate and understand the frustration within the community regarding homelessness and regarding what's going on in this town, because that seems to be the dominating theme over the last number of years, how to deal with homelessness and addictions and park spaces. But in that, do you think that there is people and maybe leaders are losing the focus that we are discussing humans and human lives and human situations versus the frustration that is going on? Is that clouding the fact that, well, really at the end of the day, what we are dealing with, and that's human beings?
You know, that's kind of where I land, I think, Dan. I think about it's somebody's child at the end of the day. It's somebody's relative. It's somebody's friend. And we have to remember the human side of all of this within the issue. Each person has a unique story. And did they get there from a bad decision? Did they get to the circumstance because of a bad break? Did they get there from a mental health issue? Did they get there from a substance abuse issue? Did they get there for whatever reason? And I think that that's one thing that does get lost in the conversation, is that every single person has a unique story as to why or how. And I think the question for us is not to judge the why or the how. It's about how to support people so that we can elevate them out of a bad situation. You know, I recently was reading about a report in Finland, the Housing First. And the folks in Finland have really discovered that if you can give someone a stable place to live, it really can help their circumstance. And then wraparound services can come in and deal with whatever the individual issues are related to the circumstance. But giving them that stable house to begin with is the catalyst of changing their life. And from what I'm reading, and I'm still reading this very lengthy report from Finland, is that for ultimately it's much less expensive for the taxpayer to have someone stable in a home than it is to have them in a circular homelessness situation, chronically going into and using, of course, with our medical systems, which are also tapped, our care systems that are tapped. So I think that it would be really interesting to have more conversation about some of the things that are working around the world and some of the things that are happening. And so I think I might have mentioned to you on August the 25th, we have a Community Matters developing a community action plan for housing. And because we're a federated organization, we've been able to tap into other United Ways across the country who have been working in housing much longer than our local, you know, Northumberland United Way, and learning from them some of the great projects that they're working on to inspire conversation. Because I think it's the inspiration of seeing projects that are working, whether it be in emergency sheltering, whether it be in transitional supportive housing, whether it's in affordable tiny homes, modular homes, more affordable home equity programs. It's the inspiration of seeing things that are working and how the community could get excited about a solution that could work in Northumberland, or a combination of ideas that could be working. And so for us, it's really about bringing some folks who have had some success to help inspire this community conversation.
Cleveland plans to address his concerns with the draft Parks Master Plan at Council on Wednesday. Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.